Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
That will be nice. Yes, is being my answer. Easy question.
Que tu disseste?
Sim, claro.
You learned English?
Just in cases.
Oh, I know you love it. I love it. I'm not ashamed to say it. That is Jamie proposing to Aurelia in a classic scene from Love Actually. Surely one of the great rom-coms of all time. And we are reminding you of that because Thomas Brody Sangster, who is the young teenager who plays Sam, Liam Neeson's son, do you remember that character? He has said that rom-coms are simply not what they used to be. Well, film critic Brian Lloyd joins me now. Brian, say it isn't so.
No, I don't. I think he's wrong, to be honest. I genuinely think he's wrong. I mean, just this week, there's a rom-com in cinemas called Eternity. That's directed by an Irish guy, Dave Frain. Stars Elizabeth Olsen, Miles Teller, and Callum Turner, Dua Lipa's fiancé. So if you want to talk about, like, you know, rom-coms being out of fashion, I think empirically the evidence says that is not the case. Quite the opposite, in fact. I think, if anything, they're actually having a bit of a moment again because, you know, it seems like every 6 months I'm doing this slot on the radio where it's like, are rom-coms dead? And it's like, no, they're not. Like, they are actually coming back in a big, big way, I think.
But what he is saying specifically is maybe the genre is not dead, but the quality of the movies being produced.
That's a fair point. That's
not the same. Because when I think of rom-coms, right, I just go back immediately to the classics. I think of When Harry Met Sally, You've Got Mail, Sleepless in Seattle, One Fine Day, and then that whole genre that came from Working Title.
Yeah.
You know it, don't you?
Yeah.
Love Obviously, Actually.
Richard Curtis,
he did them good. Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Yeah.
Notting Hill. All the Bridget Jones. And then Love Actually, which I knew the day and the minute I sat down in the cinema in London to watch that, I thought, I'll still be watching that in 20 years, and I still am.
Yeah, you definitely are. I mean,
is the quality gone?
No, he is right in terms of, yes, the quality is definitely gone downhill. I do think that's fair because what you have now is that rom-coms are so cheap to make. You know, they don't require a huge amount of special effects. They certainly don't require, you know, big kind of set pieces like your comic book movies or anything like that. That can be made cheaply. And because they can be made cheaply, streamers like Netflix, like Prime Video, like Disney Plus, they can churn them out to beat the band. And because they are churned out at a rate of knots, that just means that it becomes kind of like industrial quality. They're just kind of like, you know, cheaply made, cheaply put together.
So it's quantity over quality.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And like, people forget as well, like back in the 90s when you had, like, you know, your When Harry Met Sally's and when you had your Four Weddings and a Funeral, there were a lot of other romantic comedies in between all of them as well that didn't survive kind of the culture, if you know what I mean. Like, they kind of have fallen to the wayside and stuff. Like, Meg Ryan did a good few ones that did not survive. Now, people might love them, you know, in their own kind of special way. Like, the one I'd always go to is like French Kiss, if you remember that one with Kevin Kline, which is a bit of an underrated one. I like it, but a lot of people wouldn't necessarily know that. So, like, it's always been a genre that's been prodigious, that they've made a lot of them. But yeah, the quality, I think, has gone down quite a bit.
But even, as you say, when it was prodigious, right, and maybe there were ones that we all forget about now that, you know, went by the wayside, weren't classics, there were classics.
Oh, yeah.
So over the last 5 years, can you think of one rom-com that we're still going to be watching in 20 years and say, that was brilliant?
I think there was one that was out this year that I liked that I think a lot of people didn't necessarily connect with in the same way, but I enjoyed it. It was Materialists. Did you see that?
No, but I've heard about this.
Yeah.
Okay, and the premise I like.
Yeah, so what's going on in it is Dakota Johnson is a professional matchmaker. And she was previously in a relationship with Chris Evans, who's this struggling actor and has gone nowhere in his career. But then she meets Pedro Pascal, and Pedro Pascal is this multi-millionaire who just seems to be a perfect match on paper. And she's really caught between the two of them, as in, like, should she, you know, move on with her life and kind of move on with Pedro Pascal, even though the connection isn't necessarily there, but he has the material wealth that she so desperately needs? Or should she go back to Chris Evans, even though, you know, she has a connection with him, but he's just not moving on with his life? And it's been interesting to kind of watch how people, some people interact with it, because some people think, you know, that it's apologia for broke boyfriends. And then other people are saying, no, you're completely missing the point. The point of it is that if you love someone, if you have a connection with them, that that is more valuable than material wealth, and that eventually you will find some kind of happiness together. It might not just be surrounded with money, you know, like, anyway.
So you're telling me she didn't go for the millionaire?
No, I mean, look, I would encourage you to watch it. Watch it over Christmas.
All right, let's keep this true to life, people.
No, look, do you know what? I would encourage you to give it a go over Christmas. It's definitely worth the watch. If for nothing else, I would say, like, the production design and the fashion in it is fantastic. It looks gorgeous. Like, it looks like a 90s rom-com, because back in the 90s, they actually did spend a bit of money on them. Like, you can watch something like When Harry Met Sally, and that is as good now as it was then. There is nothing in that film that would age it in any particular way. And it looks and feels weighty. It has depth, like, you know.
Financially, for those who make movies and distribute movies, is it attractive to them to get a good rom-com into the theatre anymore?
Yes and no. This is the thing. Yes and no. Yes, they can be made cheaply, and yes, they can make money. But the problem with it is that studios now are so risk averse that they only want a film that they know for a certainty will be a sure bet, which is why we have, you know, 10 different Marvel films every single year, and why every film seems to be either a sequel or a remake or something like that. Studios have just become big studios, like your Warner Brothers, like your Universals and all the rest of it, have become so risk averse now that they only want something that is going to be a surefire hit. Now, like this week, you will see smaller films like Eternity, which is a rom-com and which I really recommend and I really, really liked. That's not going to get as big of a release as something like, say, Avatar Fire and Ash next week or the week after, whenever it is.
So you're telling me the rom-com is now niche?
Yeah, genuinely. And I know that sounds ridiculous. I mean, considering how kind of popular they were once upon a time, and again, like, we're talking about how prodigious they would be considered niche for cinemas now, yeah?
So have they had to then change the rom-com over the years in any way? Like, it was always these two charismatic leads, okay, with a fairly predictable storyline that was, it doesn't matter, were still engaged by it, and ultimately, no matter what happens, they fall in love. Is that now rarer too?
It is a bit, yeah. What you find more common now, believe it or not, is a more kind of a high concept approach to rom-coms. Like, Eternity, for example, just to give you the plot line of that, right? Elizabeth Olsen is a 90-year-old woman who's died and has woken up in her 30-year-old body and wakes up in purgatory, right? And her first husband is there, played by Callum Turner, and he died during the Korean War, whereas her husband, who was with her throughout her entire life, is played by Callum Turner. He dies about 2 weeks later, and he wakes up in the same place as well. So she has to decide who she's going to spend eternity with, her husband or her first husband or her second husband. Now, I know you're kind of rolling your eyes there and you're kind of glazing over a bit and thinking it's all a bit silly.
Is that obvious?
But I would encourage you to give it a go, because that is your standard rom-com, isn't it? Which one do you go with? The person that you had a short but meaningful relationship with, or the person that you spent a long time with? Like, who is...
But what was wrong with the classic?
Nothing, but it's been done to death, like, you know, that sort of way. Like, you look at something like When Harry Met Sally, which is the friends to lovers route. That has been perfected, I would argue, with that film. So any other film that comes along is invariably going to be compared to it. So look at something like Anyone But You, right, with Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell. That is the enemies to lovers trope. Again, that's been done to death. I mean, you can talk about how many films, rom-coms, have been done where people hate each other, but then they get put together for like an extended period of time, and then suddenly they're in a relationship.
All right, Brian Lloyd, I'm glad you've come in here to defend the rom-com, but I think the overall message is we need to work on the quality here.
Yeah, we need to, less is more.
Less is more. All right, we'll leave it there. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.